You're listening to episode 322 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Hello, everyone, and hello, Max. We've just been talking for about 15 minutes, I guess, catching up as both of us are self-quarantined in our respective states and keeping a distance of 6 feet from each other.
Yeah. 6 feet plus six states, actually. But I was starting to get stir crazy. So yesterday I had to get out of the house. So there's a sort of a recreational area not too far with a lake and just miles and miles and miles of hiking trails. So I thought I'd get some exercise. Well, it turned out that everybody in the city had the same idea, and the place was mobbed. So I got my exercise, but I really wasn't socially distancing myself as much as I had hoped to.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard. I told Max this story that I was running to get a couple of groceries, and I'm diabetic. I occasionally have a dry cough. Well, I coughed in the store, and you should have seen the rats scurry to various corners of the supermarket. Like, it's like, okay, I get it, but you know, it's tough. But we're here to keep you occupied at least for a half hour, and we're going to do that by telling you a story about COVID-19 and drones. And then we're going to talk about Drone Racing League Academy launches a STEM program. EHang looks to Europe with their autonomous aerial vehicle, radar cross-section database for malicious drone identification, and a flying car that looks like a flying car. I thought that was kind of clever of me, but it was my first impression when I saw that article was, wow, it looks like a genuine flying car for once.
It does. So. It really does. Kind of almost in the Jetsons sort of mode.
Yay. So let's get the bad news out of the way, or the news that nobody really wants to talk about, but we have to touch base on it, is Spanish police are using drones to scold citizens who go outside. This was from digitaltrends.com. Many countries are combating the coronavirus by asking or telling people to self-quarantine and to practice social distancing. But here in the States, we've got beaches in Florida loaded with people, and evidently they've got a problem in Spain.
They do. They do. I think everywhere, a lot of people are taking this seriously, but not everyone. So police in Spain are, well, maybe taking a lesson from what we've seen in China, and the police are using drones fitted with speakers so that they can fly them around, monitor the streets. And when they see someone who isn't doing their part, maybe a group of people too close together, they're using the drones to try to change their behavior a little bit by giving them a little audio message.
Which is not a bad use for drones. One of the creepiest things I saw today on the news as a sidelight was China has police officers wearing helmets that give off infrared detection and are scanning people as they walk by to see if they have fevers, which I thought was kind of creepy and very dystopian. But I guess we got to do whatever we got to do. But how about using drones as disinfectant or sprayers?
Yeah, we've seen that too. We've seen that in China for sure. There's a piece in military.com where it raises a question, what about disinfecting drones to fight COVID-19? Justice Department says no thanks. So some companies in the United States have been proposing that we follow suit with what China's doing and mount spraying devices on drones to spray disinfectant around. But the U.S. Defense Department says they don't have any plans whatsoever to do this.
Yeah, I think the Defense Department is looking back to when we were spraying things back in during the Vietnam War, i.e. Agent Orange, and thinking, we don't really want to begin chemical warfare against our own citizens.
Oh, sort of. I didn't make that connection. Yeah.
See, that's why you keep the military historian around.
Yes, yes. Well, a National Guard spokesman said the National Guard does not have this capability and is not pursuing it with other agencies. And a couple of other agencies have chimed in, the U.S. Special Operations Command, as well as DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, both told military.com that they don't have any disinfecting drones and they're not planning on developing a capability to do that.
However, there are others in the industry who are thinking about it or suggesting it as something to do, like drone responders. All use case options in response to COVID-19. We obviously seen that spraying has been done in China, and we are exploring the effectiveness and realistic deployment. We are also trying to learn what needs to change to make drones more effective. They are exploring, learning, and sharing as they go. We are also working with our counterparts overseas as well to include use cases, air traffic management, and more. China is a completely different mechanism.
Yeah, it's a different culture completely with regard to things like this. But I don't know. What do you think, David? It's sort of maybe worthwhile to explore it anyway, the technology. And there's probably a half a lot of crossover with precision agriculture and, you know, and those kinds of applications too. So, I mean, if you develop the capability for one, you'd have benefits for the other, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but then you have to, you know, it's one thing deploying agriculture spraying. I'm wondering what, I guess maybe not so much the technology is available, but I think the problem is, what are you spraying as a disinfectant? You know, I mean, and then you start talking about particle ratios and how much dispensing you get and how much dispersal you get. It's not just the aspect of, oh, yeah, we have the hardware. I mean, Japan, we've talked about sprays precision agriculture using drones a lot. But that's talking about stuff that we've used to agriculture spraying. You know, we've done it with aircraft and helicopters.
Yeah.
They've just reduced it, right? This is a whole different ballgame. There's chemistry involved and, you know, dispersals. And like I said, that's one of those things where you start getting uncomfortable with the suggestion of spraying, you know, especially the Department of Defense spraying a city with UASs. So that's going to be a tough one to overcome.
And I don't think we have the data yet that indicates that spraying disinfectant the way it's been done in China and maybe in other places is effective or not. I don't think we have that data, but there's another way to kill viruses and germs and things besides just, you know, spraying with a disinfectant, and that's using an ultraviolet light. And this article points out the company that's called Building Momentum is looking at that. Building Momentum has used drones in the past to locate survivors in disaster zones. I know they've been active in at least one hurricane in the past, but they're planning on testing a high-powered ultraviolet robot that can be programmed, they say, to kill viruses. So maybe instead of spraying disinfectant around, another option is flashing ultraviolet light. But I don't know what kind of range that has.
Yeah, well, I actually saw a picture of the prototype. And it's basically a very large UV bulb attached to a small vehicle. And you can see them using it down the hall of a hospital, which, you know, and it swings the UV back and forth as it goes down the hall. That might actually be an effective way of disinfecting those kind of areas.
Yeah, like schools.
Yeah, anything that where you can deploy this vehicle and you're not having to deploy a person to, you know, it's one of those things where this, in this case, you know, a lot of things, UAVs are good or robots or whatever you want to call them, because they're not interacting with sick people or surfaces that have the disease.
Yeah.
Or more to the point, drones can't get sick.
Now, a lot of events of various kinds have been postponed or rescheduled or just outright canceled. And it's probably worth mentioning that one of the major unmanned aviation events in this country, the AUVSI Exponential, has been postponed. And that was scheduled for May 4th through 7th. They've tentatively moved it to August 10th through 12th for the 2020 event. But that was planned for in Boston. And I think they're still trying to finalize the arrangements to keep it there. So if you're interested in attending that one, keep an eye out for announcements.
Yeah, and they, since we do partner with them, we'll be made aware when we have. So keep tuned to this channel and go to the UAVDigest.com. All right, Max, enough with the viruses. Let's talk about other stuff.
Good.
Like STEM, for those people who don't know what that means, is science, technology, engineering, and math, or I like to call it STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. The Drone Racing League is implementing a STEM academy.
Yeah, the DRL, Drone Racing League. They're calling it the DRL Academy. It's for school-aged youngsters. The main focus, of course, is on drones. And they partnered with a number of other organizations to participate and pull this together, which is rather interesting. They partnered with the National Geospatial Technology Center of Excellence and West Valley College. And they've also partnered with something that's called Eduscape. And this gives them the ability to offer the content to students at home who may be home because the schools they're not open, which I think which is great. So that's obviously some kind of an online version of this.
They're also partnering with Jersey City University, and students will receive complimentary access to several sessions, drone flying and building lessons on the DRL simulator, digital STEM panel discussions with DRL drone technicians and Eduscape leadership, and live streaming of celebrity guest lectures with DRL pilots, who are also engineers, scientists, and content creators. If you're interested in the DRL Academy, you can email them at stem@drl.io.
Yeah, we have a quote from the founder and CEO of DRL. It said, drone racing is the ultimate sport to facilitate STEM programming and inspire students to learn about robotics, engineering, and physics. Through DRL Academy, we'll leverage our cutting-edge drone technology, custom content, and future sports competition to provide teachers and students with a digital-first curriculum during this challenging time and beyond. So again, yeah, that email address that David just mentioned, contact them if you're an educator or someone that would be interested in this program, this academy that they're offering.
Yeah, I know that I forwarded this over to my education director at the museum, and they were excited as we're trying, all of us are trying to desperately get out to the students and people who are locked down more, you know, hands-on, virtual hands-on stuff that they can't get because they're working and studying from home.
You think it's ever swing the opposite way? You know how the way things swing from one extreme to another? You think maybe kids will be so interested in science and engineering that 10 years from now, everybody would be running around saying, where are the football players? We got to get our kids interested in sports.
Well, no one's going to. Well, I mean,
I'm being facetious a little bit.
Well, a little, yeah, but, you know, let's face it. Tom Brady is leaving the Patriots, and I don't know about you, but I've seen quite a few memes about it, but it really isn't that big a news. So it's like maybe people will focus more on STEM and STEAM, and we'll all get together and come out the other side. and people will realize how important it is to be with other people, not just playing video games and chatting online.
Yep.
So let's go to Norway. Ihang gets operational flight permit from CAA Norway. This was from UASVision.com. The Ihang 216 two-seat autonomous aerial vehicle has received an operational flight permit from the Civil Aviation Authority in Norway. So I guess Ihang is trying to see how well it flies in darkness and snow.
Well, also, the what are the advantages of doing eVTOL and UTM in Norway is that they've got an awful lot of open space, a lot of sparsely populated land there and free airspace. Another aspect is that for years now, Norway has focused on building a network of small airports throughout the country, which, of course, for something like the Ihang 216, I mean, that makes it kind of a perfect environment. So they're going to conduct flight tests, certification flights. They're planned with a local customer, the article says. I don't know who the local customer is, but this is good. Ihang seems to be on a roll these days.
Yeah, so much so. Let's move a little bit more south and a little more Mediterranean to Spain. Ihang, the city government of Seville, the partner to launch first UAM pilot program in Spain. This was from AUVSI.org. Ihang has an agreement with the city of Seville in Spain. This would be the first urban air mobility pilot program in Spain. So we've got the vehicles being tested in Norway, and we've got the pilots being developed in Spain.
So Ihang and the Seville government, they want to develop passenger transportation, air logistics, and command and control platforms in the city. And Seville will also collaborate with them on applications for permission to conduct test flights, and they'll coordinate with Ihang to plan flight routes. And Seville is, they're a member of the UAM Initiative Cities community. Now, that's something that was launched by EU's European Innovation Partnership on Smart Cities and Communities project. So Seville has a little bit of a history here, a little bit of interest in developing this kind of capability.
And you know what the UAM pilot's call sign is going to be?
I'm afraid to ask.
Barber. Okay. That went over like a lead balloon. Took a while, but for all you don't know, there's a thing called the Barber of Seville.
Yeah.
But the Ihang chairman and CEO said, Seville has developed such a rich culture over 2,000 years of history. We are so delighted to collaborate with the Seville government to bring UAM technology to this ancient city. I find it kind of amusing that someone in China is causing Seville an ancient city, you know, with
it's a little ironic. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little, yeah. It's like, okay, pot calling kettle black, but there are many old town narrow paths in the town of Seville, which are inaccessible to automobiles. We believe our AAV can be a great solution for the city to relieve traffic congestion and to preserve a better historic sector. If you can't fit a car, are you going to fit an air mobility vehicle into it? I know they're going to fly above it, but you still got to land somewhere.
It's a narrow slot.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit difficult.
Maybe they need some kind of, I don't know, like radar system or something on the front of the
Ihang?
Yeah.
We'll see. And great way to dovetail into the next one. You radar? Well, you know, team scans drones of different shapes and sizes to counter terrorist attack risk. We're going to start profiling quadcopters using radar.
Yeah, these are researchers who are building a database of drone radar cross sections. RCS, you call them, radar cross sections. And the idea is that data could be used to help identify malicious UAVs. And so they are measuring radar cross sections for a number of commercial drones as well as some custom built drones.
And this is from the Aalto University in Finland, UKOVLIN in Belgium, and New York University. They measured drones' radio cross sections at multiples between 26 and 40 gigahertz millimeter wave frequencies. They understand how drones can be detected. They investigated how different between drones' models and materials scatter radar signals and believe the results will be a starting point for a future uniform drone database. Now, all my years of studying stealth aircraft, did you notice I didn't miss a word when it comes to those things like gigahertz and frequencies? I'm curious to see what the RCSs are of these things, because we've talked about things like B2s having the radar cross section of a bird or whatever. So it'll be interesting how big of a RCS these aircraft have.
And we'll be able to find out, because the data that they're collecting is available to the public. It's open access, and we'll actually have a link to where you can find it in the show notes. But they note that this kind of data could be useful for machine learning. If they build up enough data, machine learning algorithms could be applied to the data to help identify drones. It also might impact how radar systems are developed, having this data. But here's something that I wasn't thinking when I was looking at this, David. The professor from Aalto University said, "We are developing millimeter wave wireless communications technology, which could also be used in sensing the environment like a radar. With this technology, 5G base stations could detect drones, among other things." Wow. So you build a 5G cell network and you can use that to detect drones? That would be kind of amazing.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it definitely highlights traffic management. You know, if we build this 5G environment that can track drones just because of the 5G environment, that's pretty impressive. And maybe we'll get to see drone delivery.
So this research is published. You can find that in the IEEE Access site. And as I mentioned, we'll also have a link to where you can actually look at the data. Just to give you an idea of what signatures they've been measuring so far, they've done the DJI Phantom 4 Pro, also the DJI F450 and the Mavic Pro. Also, the helicopter Kyosho, the Parrot AR drone, another DJI, the Matrice M100, the Volcara Voyager 4, a custom-built hexacopter, and a tricopter HMF 600, just the frame. That's what they've measured so far, and I would imagine a lot more to come.
Yeah, and at least those are a really good baseline across the board of possible hostile small drones in the current environment. So,
yep.
All right. Let's talk about my favorite story for the week. Ascent makes UAM plans with eVTOL group Urban Aeronautics. This was from AIN Online. Metro Skyways, a subsidiary of Urban Aeronautics, is developing a hydrogen powered eVTOL called City Hawk. Now, this is really cool because I thought this was really cool because my beloved co-host gets his fuel cell
hydrogen
conversation. And I finally get an eVTOL that looks like a flying car, which I've been wanting since I was watching the Jetsons when I was a little one.
This is pretty good sized, seats 6. Now, they have a partnership with Ascent in Singapore. Ascent is a charter booking service, and they want to develop urban air mobility services in Asia. But as for Metro Skyways, they're Israel-based. They see this City Hawk eVTOL as being really well-suited to autonomous air taxi operations. Now, these use large ducted fans, which they call Fancraft, trademark technology. The fan craft that they're working with currently actually utilizes a hybrid propulsion, but the fan craft of tomorrow they expect to run on hydrogen.
Okay, now this is when I start worrying it becomes vaporware. Urban Aeronautics and Ascent believe that the autonomous eVTOL aircraft could lower the price point for air taxi rideshare flights to as little as $2 US per mile for each passenger. That's cheaper than an Uber.
Yeah, that's pretty inexpensive. But, you know, hey, dream big or go home or something like that. But, yeah, this really does look like an automobile. And most of their designs have this large circular ducted fan in the nose, in what would be the nose or the hood or bonnet. Is the bonnet the front or the back?
The bonnet's the trunk.
Okay, so it's got one in the front and one in the bonnet as well. With the cabin in the middle and the whole thing shaped in a way that does pretty closely resemble the overall shape of what you'd expect from an automobile.
Yeah, I like it. I have a new favorite UAM. You know what else I like about it, Max, is?
What's that?
There are no whirring blades for somebody to walk into.
That is an excellent point. Because it's a ducted fan and you can see it's got kind of a grate or a grill over the fan in the nose anyway, it doesn't look at all like, for example, like the E-Hang that has these, whirring props exposed and out there, where you need to navigate through them in order to get to the cockpit. This doesn't have that problem at all.
But more to the point, it looks like a flying car. It's supposed to look like.
All right, so we'll be following this, David. Maybe this will be the one that achieves a breakthrough in terms of viability and marketability.
I don't know. E-Hang's got a really good step up on them, so we'll see.
Yep.
Well, okay, Max, I think it's time. We're approaching our normal limit. We're going to have to go our 6 feet and wash our hands, et cetera. I say that a little bit in jest, but...
But it's serious.
But seriously, all folks, wipe down your surfaces, wash your hands. The sooner we get through this, the sooner we can all go out and be out flying again on our drones, and doing all sorts of things that we love to do outside with other people besides staring at video monitors. So
that's right. So thank you for listening to episode 322 of the UAV Digest. We really appreciate you listening. It keeps us going. You can find us at theuavdigest.com. And, of course, show notes for this episode specifically at theuavdigest.com/322. Also, don't forget, in September, the 14th annual UAS Summit and Expo at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I've been to South Dakota, David. I'd really like to get up to North Dakota. But, with the rate at which things are getting rescheduled, they're all kind of jamming together and creating conflicts. So I'll have to see what happens. But that's one I'd really like to make.
Yeah, I think I would, too. Maybe we can catch a cheap flight on that later in the year. But also, if you want to talk drones, and your spouse or significant other or your pet just does not want to listen to you anymore.
Your cat doesn't want to talk about drones.
You can join our Slack listener team and talk with like-minded people so you're not driving the rest of your family nuts. And you do that by sending us a request at feedback@theuavdigest.com. Max and I will send you a link and... I see that our Slack team is going to keep growing and growing, and there's a lot of good conversations going on right there to keep up to date and just to geek out. We're all in this together, so think about doing that. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/UAV Digest or on Twitter. And as we record this on Thursday night for a Friday launch, check out our Twitter feed because I've got a drone walking a dog's on our Twitter feed.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
which is very humorous. So to add to social distancing, you can always purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store. But most of all, we want you to stay well, stay healthy, and keep in touch with your family and friends, even if it's virtual. So this is David in Fort Washington.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you for listening.